Carolyn.
And I'm Bethany.
And we are
Sisters in Song.
We have the pleasure of talking to Sean Griffin on today's episode. Sean is debuting his first solo album this fall.
Sean is a veteran at the music business. He fronted Gaelic rock favorites The Ruffians. And I know he's going to have a lot of stories to share with us.
I am certain of it. Here's a little bit more about Sean. Sean Griffin is a veteran singer-songwriter with a charismatic founding frontman of Celtic rock cult favorites, The Ruffians. After years fronting rowdy pub stages and raising six kids while running a successful business, Griffin returns with his solo debut, a raucous, reflective collection of songs that blend punk energy, folk storytelling, and hook-filled rock melodies.
Steeped in Irish tradition and punk rebellion, his music channels the spirit of the Pogues and Joe Strummer. With a voice full of grit, wit, and soul, his new single, People Are Mad, is a barroom anthem for chaotic times, rowdy, unfiltered, and ready to raise a glass.
Equal parts barroom chaos and screw-it-all catharsis, his debut solo album, People Are Mad, channels the unhinged joy of a packed pub sing-along with a sharp wink at the world's unravel. There's a pint in one hand, a smirk in the other, and a mandolin leading the charge. Think the Pogues meet early Dropkick Murphys, but with more bite and grit and a grin.
Griffin calls it a soundtrack for laughing in the face of the apocalypse. It's a wildly catchy stomp-along single that captures the mood of 2025. Everything's absurd, so let's dance anyway.
Hey, musicians. Are you looking for quality live show photos to highlight your work? Look no further than Summer Lee. Summer specializes in concert photography, and she's booking now in the Chicago and Nashville areas. She also travels and is tour ready. Find her on Instagram at summerlee.photo or Facebook at summerleephoto. Hit her up on DM for rates and availability. Summer shot for us at Americana Fest last September, and we can guarantee that she is the real deal and a true professional.
We are welcoming you to the show, to Sisters in Song. Can you please introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling from and maybe tell us how you got started in music and songwriting?
Well, thank you so much for having me. My name is Sean Griffin. Today I am at a friend's office in LA. I usually am in Kingston, New York. And I got started writing songs when I was very young. I think the first song I wrote was when I was 3.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a song called Mr. Sunshine, and my mother was so sweet, she remembered it, she would always sing it back to me, so, you know, I never forgot it, and
That's really cool. I love that.
I do too.
So tell us a little bit about songwriting and your process. What usually speaks to you for a song? Lyrics, melody, or how does it come to be?
I have not just one way that I do it. So sometimes I'll hear a phrase or a word or get an idea for something, and then I want to write a song about that specific idea. Very often I get a melody in my head first, or other times I'll be noodling around with the piano or the guitar, and I'll maybe have a progression or something, and then I'll start, you know, hearing a melody over it, and the words sometimes just kind of come. Sometimes it'll just be like one word will just like kind of pop out, or you just kind of like almost like sing almost like words. And then there'll be one that kind of gets attached to a certain point in the melody. And then you kind of go back and, you know, start pulling them and piecing them together. That's often, you know, my process. You know, my writing process has changed quite a bit. I used to have endless time to sit at the piano by myself and or the guitar and be uninterrupted and just focus on writing a song. That's what I'm doing. And now that I have 6 children, as you might have heard, it's a little different of a process. Now I have to have a lot of faith that the melody is good and that it will come back to me. And I write in the car probably the most these days. I just will find a scrap of paper and start writing down lyrics, or safer is I just record it on my phone now. And then I'll just kind of sing. And a lot of times in those situations, I'll come up with the first sentence that I like, and then I'll kind of add on to the next sentence, go back to the beginning and kind of sing it through, and then like add. So sometimes I do that process, not always, but it's one of the ways that I've always found helpful to me, kind of like, is this good? And then you go back and you sing and then you build on it and you go back. So sometimes it works out that way too.
That's cool. And it's a cool way, I think, not only to build on it, but to remember it. Like, is this good? And am I keeping this here? Oh, this is good. Or maybe you listen to it and you're like, maybe this isn't as good as I thought.
And there's something to be said about riding in the car too. Yeah, that's right. Kind of what we do too. Yeah. And we, if we go on long road trip,
yeah,
we like to write in the car. It keeps us awake and then it kind of sparks inspiration.
So yeah.
I totally get that.
Have you guys write together?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or yep, we write separately and then we bring it together and kind of bounce ideas off of each other and then it becomes one something.
And who does the lead and who does the harmony?
So that's
a good question.
That's right now we are lyrics only and we're learning our instruments. Yep. We are learning piano and learning guitar. And so we are
trying to figure out how to put our words to the music.
Yes, that's the big goal right now.
Wonderful. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever used an auto harp.
No.
But it's wonderful. Have you ever seen it? It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's stringed and you can just push the chord and you run it down, your pick down it. And as you're kind of developing these other skills, it might be like a quicker access point for you just to kind of get rolling a little simpler. Because it's even though it was old.
Yeah, that's an amazing idea, though.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's our takeaway.
And also, I do have to also say that the ukulele is not as intimidating at first as a guitar, and it's easier to do a couple chords. So it might be another thing. See, now you can do auto harp and you know, ukulele. I've just made your new sound. I mean,
you just made our band.
Yeah.
Sean,
that's awesome.
That's great. So going back to writing for a minute, when you're writing, how do you handle like a creative block or if you get stuck?
Well, I'd love to tell you the secret, but I don't know it. I think it's just a matter of, I'm not gonna fib, full disclosure, I have a giant book of half-written songs. And I have gone back to them, some of them, and I have finished once, you know, from time, you know, it'll be really old and melody just comes out and I'll be like, it could be years later. And all of a sudden I'll be, oh wow, that melody that, you know, I remember all the melodies. And so it'll come back and then I'll be like, yeah, let's look at that. And then if I can find the piece of paper or in the notebook, it's great. I am really bad at writing on the back of an envelope or a piece of mail or a receipt. My poor wife leaves these things everywhere. It'll be in my jeans and she's doing the wash.
Oh no.
Out, has to look. You threw out my new song. It was shoved in the back of your pocket on a receipt. What do you expect? So, yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You got to start sticking those in the notebook. That's the goal, right?
Yes, women are much more sensible. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Thinking on that, I'm going to butt in before your question. Okay. I'll just say, how do you know when a song is truly finished? Do you?
Well, personally, I like to play them out as quickly as I can.
Cool.
So I have to say, for me, sometimes the performance is also part of the process. I have songs that I have played out a certain way, sometimes even for years. And then when it's time to record it or get around to it, a new part might reveal itself. Or I might, it'll like kind of like get this nagging little feeling like, oh gosh, maybe it needs this other little thing. So I had a song, People Are Mad, and I was playing it out for a bit, and that happened. And then off this new record, I have another song called JFK, which is about the airport of the man. And I was playing that. It's kind of like a traditional Irish ballad feel. And I was playing it a long time. And then when I went to record it, I was just like, I just feel like it needs something. And I wrote this whole other part, like right before going in to record it. And I really feel like it made the song. It was like magic. It just kind of came together.
That's super cool.
Well, and that leads me to what I was going to ask you about is with this new album coming out, how did it come together? How did you decide to go solo? And tell us all about how that came to be.
Sure. I mean, the thing is, we're all a bunch of dads in the Ruffians. And so our wives convene and they let us know what we can do. It's been a while since we had done a record, and it was really, you know, bothering me. We had a banjo player who passed away and a bunch of years back. And I was anxious to do a record, and it still kept getting pushed and pushed and pushed. And then I was like, guys, let's do it. And we all looked at our schedules and it got pushed back. It was going to be so many months out from when I wanted to do it. Then I finally just said, okay, I gotta do it. What was interesting about the process of the songs that went on it is I presented a lot of songs to the producer, Kenny Siegel, who produced the record. And he's worked with like Langhorne Slim and his own band, Johnny Society, they're great. And anyways, he kind of combed through songs, and it wasn't like, what have you done recently? It was just like, I like this, I like that. So this record wound up being like, just kind of like, here's my book. You pull out songs that you think that you, and his approach is like, he won't say, oh, something's a good or bad song per se. He'll just grab ones that he feels he could do something with that, like, that makes sense for him and his kind of, you know, inspiration. So that's how we kind of came across that. And had I not started the record, sadly, my fiddle player also passed away before the record was done. So that was a little sad and hard, because had I waited, we still wouldn't have been able to get the thing done with the Ruffians anyway. So it kind of just, you worked out that right way. We have a new young fiddle player. He's very lovely. But he's like 20 years younger than all of us. And yeah, so he's been in the group over a year, and I still feel like he, you know, or probably 2 years at this point almost. And he still feels like the new guy, because we've all been together so long. So that's kind of the nature of it.
Well, I'm really excited. When does it come out? What's its official
date? I wish I knew. No, yes. So, exciting for me, you know, because I've always been, you know, pretty indie. It's on Right Track Records, which is in London, and they are hooked up with Universal, and they're doing the distribution. So, in a way, they're treating me like a new artist, and as a result, we're going to do some more singles and allow it to kind of get some traction and grow. So it's looking more towards February or March. I don't think they're going to make it go longer than March. That's my hope. My wife is so excited for this process to be shifting to the next time, the next part of the process.
So thinking of that, what is the next thing? It's touring once the album is out, or?
Yeah, so, well, I'm going to do some shows in London in the beginning of October. It'll be the first time I've played there. And I'm going to be doing a combination of some Irish pubs, because I have always done that. And they're going to also put me in some more like singer-songwriter type venues, more like cool kids places, which as a working musician in the Ruffians, like we're very working class perspective. So our wives expect us to come home with money. So we do things that make money. That's what we do. Go figure. And so as a result of that, we've done a lot of pubs and a lot of festivals and private parties and fight clubs. So those types of things have kept us busy. And so I'm really, really looking forward to that. So that'll be like in October, which is almost around the corner. And that's the next part. You know, as each song is getting released, we're kind of shooting videos, and that is a new thing for me. So I've never really done that. And that's, I'm always trying to see if I should use that hemorrhoid cream to suck up. If I just put some spackle in there and sanded it with like 2,000 grams. Maybe you could buy me a couple hours.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not really that vain, but when you have like a powerful camera and it shows like all the pores in your face, you start realizing like, oh, I've been doing this for a while now, haven't I?
You can blame those six kids, though. You can be like, see, this is from you, and this one's from me.
Yeah. And these are all from laughing and smiling because of you. There you go.
Well, you just made me laugh and smile, so no, I'll blame you.
Yes, that's right.
Hey, listeners, Sisters in Song is brought to you by Pink Whisk Confections, our sponsor. Small batch scratch cookies, cheesecakes, and other desserts are available upon request. Custom orders for color and flavor are welcome anytime. Cookies are $15 for a box of 8 cookies and are individually packaged within the box. You can DM at Pink Whisk Confections on Instagram for placing all your orders. Make sure you use the code Sisters in Song Podcast for 5% off your first order. And you can also get these gluten-free. So anybody out there who has a gluten intolerance, you can ask for a special gluten-free order. Go check it out. I'm not kidding you. These are probably the best cookies you'll ever eat.
This is really awesome. And it's exciting to have your new album coming out. Do you remember what your very first performance was? And what was it like?
First performance. Well, okay. So as a songwriter or just first performance?
Like whatever that means to you, yeah. If it was with the Ruffians or on your own or what?
Well, my father sang barbershop growing up.
Oh, wow.
He always was in a barbershop choir or quartet. And I'm one of 5 children. And he made us all sing together.
Oh my gosh.
So he came up, we had our own little repertoire. And we would be at like a family picnic or all these poor people. He subjected us to, it was just like, okay, kids, come over, it's time. And then he'd have us sing like 4 or 5 songs, some show tunes. We used to sing the Greatest American Superhero theme. We knew all the verses.
Gosh.
Such a good song. And believe it or not,
it's the Griffin family singers, like the Von Trapps.
It was a bit of that. Yeah, so that was kind of like, that was the early, being forced. And I mean, that probably took me back to like 6 or 7 years old. And then like a lot of us, I sang in choir at school and obviously sang in church. And then I started a punk band like freshman year in high school. I started writing songs in freshman year, like a lot. And that's when I started teaching myself how to play piano and guitar. And I had a really good friend who was older than me. He kind of helped flesh out the first few songs and kind of got the ball rolling for me. That was very helpful. And then you have to throw out like the first 50 songs you write and then
you're right.
Turn the page. Or you have to sell them to somebody else.
There you go.
Okay, but in the age of AI, it's a little tricky. There's so many songs.
Yeah.
And,
right.
Sorry, but I shouldn't have said it. I ruined the interview. Burn. Oh gosh, is there a booby prize for mentioning? Ring a bell. Ring a bell.
We have to employ that.
I used to have a tambourine in here. I don't know where it went.
Oh my gosh! So you taught yourself? Do you read music at all, or do you just play by ear?
Well, I had a few piano lessons as a young child. I can't say that I practiced as much as I should have done, but it was enough for me to be able to read the notes in the treble clef and read the notes in the bass clef. But my mom had this thing, it was called a chord computer, and it looked like an old calculator, and you would push the chord and it would show you the keys to play, and it would also show you like the 2 inversions. So you could do it in root position, or you could restack the 3 notes, or you could do it again. So in the beginning, that's what I did. And, that's kind of how I sussed out the chords. And then I started realizing on the piano, telling you all my deep trade secrets, when you're doing a major chord on the piano, if you count the notes between your thumb and your pointer finger, if you have 3, so it's like a black key, a white key, and a black key, 3, then 1, 2 for a major chord. So it's always 3, then 2, and it's reversed for a minor. So it's 2, then 3. So when I would just, I go like, I would sit there and be like 3, 2, 2, 3, and and that's what I would do. And then I always just did an octave in the left hand, whatever the root if I'm playing a C chord, I would just do a C in the left hand in the octave, and I just kind of always just kind of moved along. And this is how guitar players play piano, and piano players hate us, but this is what it is. And it's enough that I can accompany myself singing if I have to.
Yes, and, perfect.
And I did do enough to pass out of music class in college for the piano requirements. So.
That's great.
So with this new album coming out, what are you the most excited about? Do you have a favorite song on it?
Well, they're kind of like children. You have to love them all. Yes. So you can't have a favorite.
Can't pick a favorite.
We always know it's the youngest now, Jimmy.
No, not in our house.
Not in our house, yeah.
Unless they were really naughty.
Well, yeah. I'm the youngest. Was I really naughty?
I was more naughty. So yeah. We have an older sister, too.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So I was the second of five. So I always refer to my older brother as the practice child.
Okay. Was there ever a song then by someone else that made you say, I want to be a musician. Like,
oh gosh,
you fall in love with music.
So many things. But back to the favorite song. Okay, so
yes, oh, yes, I want to know.
Be told, for a long time, it was that song JFK, which now has the second part. But off the record, I have to say there's a song called Nothing, and I've really enjoyed playing that song a lot. Part of it is because I'm doing finger picking, which I don't usually do as much, and I'm always proud of myself when I get through it with only a few mistakes. My wife will always say, oh, you know, it was so close. You know, there. Oh, yeah, what is it? Like, oh, you know, I could do a 3-hour show. And if I miss one word, she'd be like, oh, you forgot the word on that song. He was like, it was a lot of songs I sang today. But anyway, she's wonderful. It keeps me honest. And songs that I heard, I mean, I there's just so many. I mean, I just, there's a reason I wanted to be a musician because of singers, because I love the way they sang. Mm-hmm. That was amazing. And then obviously there's songs that just inspire you to want to write or just be part of it. I mean, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, I think, which is still probably one of the best songs ever written. I think.
Yeah. It makes me cry. So I think it is too.
Yes. It's a great song. You know, and then of course, you know, all of the things from childhood that, you know, are the most important thing in the whole world ever. So like, yes, I loved. I mean, I remember having a visceral reaction the first time I heard the Ramones. My father listened so much 50s music. It just felt like 50s music that someone had sped the tape up a little bit. And I was like, I get this.
I like this.
So I loved that. I was like fourth grade. That was really fun for me. You know, I don't know what my mom thought about me bopping around singing these silly things all the time.
Yeah.
I used to get a lot of like, why can't you sing nice like you sing in church? I got that. I still get that. And then I came across the Violent Femmes. Oh my goodness. I mean, that whole album, Violent Femmes, for me, was just like, it was, I think I bought that so many times because people kept on stealing my cassette.
Oh, no.
Or stealing the CD. It was just so huge. And then Billy Bragg, I came across him. I loved his stuff. And Workers Playtime was a really big record for me. And I loved the Smiths. I couldn't get enough of the Smiths. And all of Morrissey's work I followed and loved. And then,
a sponge soaking it all up.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, Disintegration by The Cure is probably a perfect record.
Yeah, no skips on that one.
But then I don't know if you know the Posies, there was that album, Dear 23. I thought that was amazing songwriting. It was such a good, and Tom Waits, like, my goodness.
Yeah.
You're beautiful, you're innocent when you dream. I remember hearing, that was the first Tom Waits song I ever heard. It was on the end of a film. And I remember being like, oh my goodness, what is this?
It's this, yeah.
It was so magical. It was like, it felt like Louis Armstrong and fairy dust and like magic. And I was just like, this can't be real. It was so good. It was so good. And yeah, he seems like a myth to me. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yes, very eclectic. Yes. I love it.
We have to take a minute to thank our sponsor, Brought Farm Designs. Brought Farm Designs offers the most adorable, handmade, washable, durable cat and dog bandanas and collar scrunchies. Our dogs look absolutely ravishing in theirs. Don't you want your dogs and cats to look as cool as ours? The coolest thing is that they hook onto the collar so you don't have to worry about them falling off or worry about them ending up in someone's mouth. They are perfect and they are adorable. Did I say they're adorable? Go to BF Designs 7. That's BFDESIGNS 7 on Instagram and send them a message and save 10% off your first order with the code Sisters in Song. Our dogs wholeheartedly approve.
Will the new album be coming out on vinyl?
Yes.
Awesome. We're vinyl
people.
Yeah, we're big vinyl people. So we always ask so we can
collect. Paul Coldery had mastered it. He gave us a general master because like to master it for a record, like it was a significant difference. But are you familiar? I'm sorry, Greg Calvi is what I meant to say. Greg Calvi mastered it. And Greg is amazing mastering engineer. So he mastered John Lennon. He mastered the Ramones. He mastered, David Bowie. And thousands of records. He just retired, so I just got this in before.
Oh, you did it, Charlie. I mean, that in itself is an honor.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's so cool.
It did, you know, you always hope like, oh, maybe some of that stardust will land on my record.
Okay. Well, I think it did from hearing the first two.
Oh, gosh, yes.
The first two singles. I love it.
Me too.
We're All looking right. forward to it. All
ready?
Right. Yes, I'm
We're
ready.
Ask you our rapid fire questions.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
Right. You starting this time?
I'll start. Okay. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
You're our first tea.
You're our first tea person.
Berries tea. Berries Irish tea. But not
very nice.
Not if I'm singing. It's terrible. I don't drink any tea like a week before if I'm going to sing. So
interesting.
So most of the time it means I don't get to drink it these days, but I love it. Oh my gosh. 5 cups a day.
Sounds like me and coffee. Okay. Vinyl, cassette, CD, or streaming?
Well, you already played your hand, so I want to be like, so I'm just going to say vinyl.
Yep. Yep. First album you ever bought?
By myself was Workers' Playtime by Billy Bragg.
Cool.
What is your go-to karaoke song?
Ooh, my go-to karaoke song. Usually an Elvis song, something by Elvis. I'll do anything off of his repertoire.
Gotta love Elvis. Riding at night or riding in the morning, typically?
Both.
That's all right.
That's a good answer. All right. Do you write, and you kind of answered this already, but I'm still going to ask, do you write your lyrics on paper, phone notes, or voice memos?
It's usually always paper. I did try the thing once on the notes thing that's on the phone, and I did it like successfully. It didn't feel like it would be possible. I wrote this song about being stolen by Amazon women, and it reads like a Shel Silverstein's poem, kind of the way my wife is like, that seems like a Shel Silverstein poem.
That's so funny. Very cool. Okay, what's your pre-show pump-up song or ritual?
I always warm up. So I have a warm-up thing that I do. It takes me about 47 minutes.
Love it.
Very cool.
That is cool. Okay. Dogs, cats, fish, birds, or reptiles?
They eat?
That's someone else said that too.
I mean, if you're getting...
I'm not a big pet person. I've had a fish before.
Okay. Right. For our people who haven't heard you yet, what describe your sound in 3 or 4 words?
Handsome dad rock. No, I'm joking. I don't know. We'll go with that. No, it's kind of Celt. You know, it's like it's a little Celtic rock. It's singer songwriter. It's kind of post punk. You know, it's got a bit of all those things. It's very. I have a very eclectic influences.
Yes, very. Yes, cool. As you've mentioned. So yes. Okay. What advice would you give to new musicians or songwriters
who have to do it?
That are crazy enough to want to do it.
There you go.
Okay. Advice. Don't be afraid of writing a bad song.
I like it.
Yeah. We've written a lot.
We've written a lot of bad songs.
Like work through the process, because I think what happens to as writers is sometimes you're doing it, you're like, this song kind of sucks. So you stop it before you're done. Instead of just being like, no, I'm going to allow it to suck. And then it might develop into something better. And I think there's a lot of missed opportunities sometimes pumping the brakes.
Yeah. So embrace the suck. Yes.
Embrace the suck. That's fine.
We would love for you to share a song with us and our listeners. Tell us what the song is and a little bit about it.
Well, if it's the song that... So Rock Stop is actually an older song that I had. And we wound up... I did it with a different producer. He was the bass player from Black 47. And he also played with the gentleman from the Psychedelic Furs and things like that, and Jeff Buckley. And so he played the bass on that and some of the guitar. So I already had the song. I wrote that song at a band practice, and it started off as like kind of a joke, and we were trying to be a little, like we were young and obnoxious, and it kind of came out of that, but it was catchy. And now, I shared it with the label, and with this whole Oasis reunion, they were like, there's so much rock and roll, like excitement at the moment. We are putting this out because it has piles of guitar and it has a lot of swagger and grit, but it's not the kind of thing I would ever write probably in this exact moment of my life, unless I just was going to go a very different way.
Well, I love it. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Come on, give me rocks off. Come on, give me rocks off. Come on, give me rocks off, girl. Come on, give me rocks off. Come on, give me rocks off. Come on, give me rocks off, girl.
Okay, now it is time for your shameless plug. Where can we find your music, your website, Bandcamp, Patreon, all the things, Instagrams, all the things?
I have a website. It's SeanGriffinOfficial.com, and that's the best place to see where I'm playing and sign up for the mailing list so you know what's going on. And I do like giveaways for like singles to download and things like that for signing up on the mailing list. And I have the Instagram thing like we have to have. So that's also my name. And I'm trying to think what else. You know, Bandcamp is something I know I really need to do more of, to be honest. And I'm getting scolded for that. If my wife was here, she's in New York, I'm in LA at this moment. If she was
here, told us to ask you. I'm just kidding.
she usually would be sitting here, and right now she'd be kicking me under the table or poking me in the ribs. And so thank you for reminding me. I'm a little remiss in getting that up, but I'm looking forward to it because I'm understanding that it is a much better way to kind of reach people more directly and share different versions. So I have like acoustic versions of songs that I'm going to be sharing on that soon. And also on the Spotify. But I'd say the website is still the best thing for me. I feel like all these other platforms, they're very, you know, they're very cool kid for 1 month and then they go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can lose all of these people that you're in contact with. So I think
100%. Very cool.
Very all cool. Right. Well, thank you so much, sir, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to chat with us today. And are really looking forward to your new album. Congrats.
Also, I was going to ask videos. Like, where does one see the videos that you're making?
Oh, so there is a video for both of the songs. I don't know if you've seen the video, but you will, hopefully. Or Nicole will send you the link. But it is, there's a video for People Are Bad. And there is a video for Rocks Off. So both are on the website and both are on YouTube. So I do have a YouTube channel as well under Sean Griffin. And you should be able to find it there. I'm trying to see what the official name is, but I think it's just my name, Sean Griffin. And
it's cool that videos are making a comeback, though.
Yeah,
I feel like everybody's starting to do videos again, which is fantastic.
So two videos has been great. Been very, very fun and silly. And my children were in both of them. And my wife.
That's fantastic. Love it.
Well, thank you again. This has been so much fun.
It's great to meet you.
Pleasure.
Okay, I'm ready to go get my auto harp
and my ukulele. That's great.
I was like, okay, I'm running out the door right now.
I was open. No, I wonder if it will really help us because we need help.
We need help at least being able to write stuff. So that was great advice, Sean. And I'm really excited for the album. I think it's going to be, already singing the songs.
Yeah, with the two new singles, it's already, you can tell it's going to be a lot of fun. It's neat to see him, you know, branch out on his own and get into music as a solo career.
Oh, yes, I didn't get to ask him how he balances it all with six kiddos and music and all the things.
He's absolutely doing
one, it sounds like he's got a nice wife behind him that he mentioned several times. So that was great. Thank you, Sean, for being on the show. We're excited for the album. And people, go check out Sean Griffin. Sean Griffin Official is the website. And we hope to see you down the road. Thanks for listening to Sisters in Song. Follow us on all social media platforms at Sisters in Song Podcast. And follow us wherever you stream your podcasts. If you like our show, please like and follow us on all of your social media. Please feel free to share.